Sure everyone gets one. We're entitling the message tonight, A Mother's Prayer, but really the reality is, and we're going to make that application in that direction tonight, but the reality is that this list of prayer requests and so forth is something that we can all pray for a very specific. The application is, in some respects, very broad. We can pray for it personally. We could pray for it for those that we affect and work with and so forth. So men, if after you're done tonight, you want to just cut off the title and use that in your Bible or whatever, feel free to do that, right? So hopefully this will be just a help and blessing to you. Ephesians 6. Now this morning, remember we saw as encouraged our mothers to help their children, grandchildren, family, to put on the armor of God. That is a godly, right, good goal, and in fact, maybe one of the most important tasks that any mother could ever accomplish in life. Often they'll say behind a man of God is a good wife, and I think I should add to that is usually a good mom too. And in fact, sometimes the mom may actually have had more effect than the wife. You think of a young preacher, his wife is still trying to take the chinks out of his armor, all right? Mom has done already a lot of work already on that because she's been faithful and godly and so forth. So, as we move into the next section of this passage in Ephesians 6, and this is, I'm only using it in some respects as a jump-off point tonight, a very much a topical message, but very well tied to that work. So, this morning we presented the work. Now we're tonight essentially presenting the supply or the strength, the power that you can do it in. And that's through the power of Christ, through the avenue of prayer. Well, let's just read the verse and then and talk about it just briefly as I introduce the notes here this evening. Verse 18. So he just said, take the helmet of salvation, sword of spirit, which is the word of God. And then praying always. And verse 18 really is going back to the taking, all the way back to verse 16. Above all, take the shield of faith, which will worry with you, able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked and take the helmet of salvation. This is directly referring back to those two commands there of taking up those pieces of armor. So he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Are you catching a clue here? Paul is making it very definitive. I am to pray. We are to pray, and then let me make it very specific. Mom, you are to pray always. And that first word, praying always, the word always there has the idea in every season. We get always. I think we understand that in the English language quite well all the time. But when it adds this extra, if I can put it this way, this extra flavor or seasoning to that word always, in every season, that helps me to understand that it's in the good times, the bad times, the times of rejoicing, the times of sorrow, the times of desperate need, and the times of abundant provision. In every season, I am to be praying. That is the only source of strength that I will ever have in my spiritual life, to put the armor on. So moms, pray, okay? And teach your children to pray. Always, and then it goes on, with all prayer, all prayers, and that the idea of all kinds of prayers directed by the Spirit, all kinds of prayers and supplications in the Spirit, both in a sense general overarching themes and ideas, not simply, I don't think he's just saying, you know, pray that God would bless everybody and everything. No, but there are certain specific, and this is essentially what we're going to look at tonight, as you can see on our notes, themes or ideas, requests that we can always pray for one another. But then there are supplications, and that probably is the clue what he's talking about, is there's the general themes of prayer, and then there often are very specific requests, maybe, if I can put it this way, subservient to or within those general themes. We pray for protection, but then that comes down to, okay, my children are going to be going on a field trip today at school, and they're going to Great America. Why would they ever do that? Anyway, Lord, keep them safe as they go on that silly roller coaster. I mean, I'm just using a simple illustration here. Maybe like when we prayed today, Danae and Luis were heading back home today. Lord, give them safety. There are fools on the road. Well, and they're driving a vehicle that could destroy them. So we pray for safety. Does that make sense? All kinds of very specific prayer requests and so forth. Okay, so praying in every season, all kinds of prayers with all perseverance. Now, the actual word used here, all perseverance, the word perseverance, This is the only time it's used in the New Testament. It is an adjective that's a knockoff of a verb that's used several times. And the verb has the idea of constantly diligent. That seems like you're doubling up words. Constantly and diligent, that sounds about the same. That's the idea. He's saying all the time. You never give up. This is a discipline of life. Believer, can I encourage your heart, or challenge your heart maybe tonight? Prayer should not be an irregular thing. In fact, we'll see near the end here where to pray always. All right? Prayer should be the discipline of your life. It should be it's as normal as breathing. Can I put it that way? I think, Pastor Allen, you've said that before. And it's that important. Your conversation with God should almost never really cease. You're aware of His presence. You're always in desperate need for answers in His power and strength and help and aid. You're praising Him, rejoicing. In some respects, stop and consider our song service tonight. I trust you praised God. That's a prayer. As you're lifting your voices, you're singing the hymn, and He loves to hear prayers put to music, by the way. Does that make sense? That's His form. He is a musical being. He designed it that way. And so we live in this constant state of prayer. I trust that you're doing that. All perseverance, constantly diligent in that prayer. And then for all saints. You say, I can't do that. I would never stop praying. You're getting the right idea. Believer, I can't pray for unseen faces, that's not my responsibility. But I think even among our circle, right here at Heritage Baptist Church, we've got enough people with enough needs that we should constantly be praying. Always, for all the saints. And then you start having a network of people. I realize that for some, you've lived in this region, in this area all your life. But you still stop and consider in your older age how many people you know. And then how many of those are believers that need your prayer? That's amazing. The Lord has obviously moved us around plenty. I think, I remember one time figuring out, in my first 20 years or 25 years of life, I think I'd moved 20 times, something like that. Maybe it wasn't quite that much. And some of it was in the same area, but just to a different house and so forth. Dad didn't let the grass grow under his feet too long, I guess. That's what the Lord pushed us on. The Lord has settled us some, but still there are so many people that my life has touched that I've forgotten some of them. Yet everyone I can remember, I should be praying for. All saints. It seemed as though Paul got that. No wonder he challenged them. You read both the beginning and end of almost every one of his epistles, especially at the end, and the list of saints in that particular city is lengthy. Read Romans. I mean, the whole last chapter practically is lists of names of people in Rome. He hadn't even been there yet. And he said, I'm praying for you. Told the Thessalonians, I pray for you regularly and I rejoice in what God is doing for you. Believer, we are to be praying for all saints all the time. Now, in particular, there are specific people that you and I need to be very much so praying about. And it's a natural, understandable thing that we pray for our family, our own personal family the most. Don't, moms and dads here tonight, grandpas and grandmas, don't overlook that biblical and very serious responsibility. Your life, you need, if I can put it this way, you need to be wrapping your children and grandchildren in prayer. No matter if things are great or there's issues and problems. You are the one. You have been given the responsibility to bring those children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Pray. Pray all the time. And grandpas and grandmas and great grandmas and grandmas here today, you can testify it never stops. There's never a point at which you stop praying for your children. It's like, okay, job's all done. Good. No, sorry. they're still in this world. They're still in their flesh. They still need prayer. So be faithful in that. Okay. With that in mind, I have recorded for you on the page there, James 5:16, right at the beginning. And you know the verse, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So tonight, we'll look specifically from the eyes and avenues of a mother for her children. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous mother avails much. You see, never forget that prayer is probably the greatest vehicle to accomplish the tasks, the responsibilities that God has given us. Let me say that again, because I don't want you to miss this. This ministry of prayer is something that often is unseen. It's something very personal. We do together corporately some, but this job of praying without ceasing is something that we don't see each other, and so sometimes it's neglected. So again, let me say it. Prayer is the greatest vehicle to accomplish our task. That's really what this verse is trying to emphasize. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, why is it that prayer is the greatest vehicle to accomplish our task? The verse gives us the answer. Because prayer moves God to prosper our task. God, in His rich and amazing and wonderful design for His relationship with His children in particular, is that He has chosen, and this is where your brain starts going, fritzing out a little bit. He has chosen within His sovereignty. You say, He's all powerful, He's got everything under control, and He has chosen that He answers the prayer of His children. There is abundant evidence throughout the entire Bible that God would not have acted outside of the prayer of His children. He could have, but He chose. It's a part of His great wisdom. And that's where I say, well, why doesn't He just do what He wants to do? He does. And He wants to answer your prayer. God's will is to answer your prayer. And this is where we work together. We are in concert. This is the great symphony. And that's the picture that helps me understand it the best, but still it's not a complete picture. God is the conductor. A perfect conductor. And whether you're a violin player, or a trombone player, or the bassoon, or the piccolo, or the oboe, or the euphonium, which is not usually in the orchestra. Okay, that's my horn. Okay. We all work in concert to accomplish that great sound. I hope you've ever... I'm going to get caught up in my illustration just a little bit, but there is a sound that's produced by an orchestra that no individual instrument can produce. The combination of all of those sounds together produces a brand new sound. And that's what happens when we enter the work of God through prayer. God accomplishes something that's amazing. It brings glory to Him, obviously. He's the accomplisher of it. And He wants us to be a part of it. To affect answers to prayer. So, let us be about this amazing ministry, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous mother avails much. We could spend the rest of the night in stories, just telling stories of godly men and godly women who have said, I stand here or I'm doing this ministry because of the prayers of a mother that prayed for my soul, that brought me to Christ, that helped me grow in Christ. So moms, let me encourage you tonight, and frankly everyone here, your prayer is effective. Pray according to God's will, and guess what happens? It gets accomplished. It gets accomplished. Praise the Lord. Okay, so this list then tonight, and who knows, maybe tonight will be a short message. No guarantee, all right? But this list is, I'm trying to provide for you tonight a very practical, day-to-day outline process whereby you can effectively pray God's will and see it accomplished. Often we say amen to, I'm supposed to be praying, or amen to whatever the task is, but then we need a process, we need an example, we need some help. Let me real quick, I'm just going to throw this out as another example. This was given to me back in college. I was talking to another man up in Maranatha this past week, and in reference to prayer, and I said, way back in, I think I was like a junior in college, we had a man come in who was a church planter around the United States. And in one of our classes, preacher boy classes, he sat down with us, well, he stood up, I guess, and said, here's just a simple outline for you to pray for. So you get, for instance, a person, right? And you think of, and moms, you can do this. So maybe you want to scroll this on the back of your notes tonight, because this is a different list than this. They do combine. And I followed this pattern for years. I think it's been 35 years or so that I've been praying this way. And it's been most helpful in me praying God's will, and then for me to see answers to prayer. So on Mondays, I pray that whoever I'm praying for, let me just pick on Abby, all right? No, let's pick on my kids, all right? Let's pick on David tonight. David, I pray that he would be in the Word of God and in prayer each day. Lord, would you help my son David be in your Word and in prayer daily? That's what I pray for him on Mondays. On Tuesday, I pray that they would be winning and discipling souls to Jesus Christ. They're supposed to be, and so I pray for them for that. Guess what happens when they tell Dad about an opportunity to share the gospel? My heart immediately says, thank you, Lord. You've answered my prayer. All right, Wednesdays, I pray for, I call that family relationships days. So for me, I often will pray for 1 week, I'll pray for the marriage relationships in my home. So I pray, I still, mom and dad are on the list, I pray for their marriage on Wednesdays. Every other Wednesday, right? Every other Wednesday, pray, Lord, help them, help that marriage to keep growing. There's still some kinks in dad yet that mom needs to work out, all right? Thank you. I'm pretty glad somebody laughed. That was supposed to be a joke. It was supposed to be funny. All right, anyways. So, and then I pray that they get along still. Do you realize mom is having to put up with a retired man around the house now that he hasn't, you know, anyways. And they're doing it fine, by the way. Okay, so, I mean, I won't share all of mom's issues that dad has to work on. Okay, it's mom's day, so I'll talk about that on, no, I won't, anyways, okay. So, and then the other of the every other weeks, I'll pray for the parents in my family that as they raise children or affect children for Christ. So, one week I pray for their marriage, the second week I pray for, Lord, help them to be good parents or to raise up their children, nurture and admonish the Lord. Those are the words I use. That's, again, John or Ephesians 6:4. That's Wednesday. Thursday, I pray for both their physical and spiritual protection for all the people on my list. So I pray that David would be safe and careful and wise and all that he's doing when he's out, you know, doing his Office of Student Activities. And I have pictures of him with the college guys. And he's not that much removed from college, but it's like, David, you can really get yourself hurt doing that. I'm thinking this as I'm watching the video on Facebook, you know. careful. Anyway, but usually my emphasis on Thursdays is about their spiritual protection. Lord, would you protect them? And often I become aware of a temptation in their life or maybe a distraction. And I pray specifically for that needs on Thursday for each of the people on the list. And then Fridays, I pray that they will know and do God's will. Know and do God's will. Lord, help David to know and understand your will and to do it. Not to rebel against it, not to resist. Saturdays, I pray that God would prosper them in their ministry. Lord, help them to be faithful in the ministry you've called them to do. So that often is reflected in praying for their specific work. David does a lot in the music program up at, what's it called, the church in Delafield that he goes to. I can't remember the Lakewood. There we go, Lakewood Baptist Church, okay? Help him to do that well. They've helped in junior church or our Wednesday night children's program. Lord, help him that and so forth. So those things. And then Sunday, I pray that they would worship God in spirit and in truth. Taken from John chapter 4. Lord, would you help? And I pray that for myself too, by the way. Lord, and then there are several other things I pray because I'm your pastor. I wanted to do it right. I wanted to serve you well. Help me in all my ministry. Guard my lips. All those things. So that's a list that I go through. On top of that list is your list here tonight. All right? Some things. And what this list is list really of several verses that either directly are a prayer or stating something that we should be praying about. When you pray something that God says you should pray for, guess what happens? He works and He answers. I don't know about you, but that's exciting to see that, to see those answers to prayer. So moms in particular, as we walk through this list, now notice I started on Monday. Why do I do that? Well, I know that Sunday's the first day of the week, and we worship God on Sunday, and this is the day of the resurrection that we celebrate, but I see Monday as the beginning of the work week,
All right, here we go again. Another round. All right.
And so we pray for God to give good. There, I got it figured out. All right, that's okay. We pray that God would start that work week well. So on Monday, here's the first verse, Acts chapter 4, verse 29. This is the New Testament church. Early on, Peter and John had just healed the man at the beautiful gate. The Sanhedrin had told them, don't you ever heal or preach in that name anymore? And Peter says, well, you know, we're going to obey God, okay? It was later on where he said, we'll obey God rather than man. And so they come back. And they let him go because the healed man is standing right there. They don't know what to do about these folks, but they just let him go. So Peter and John come back to the church. They share with the church what's going on, what's happened. And this is a part of that prayer. Remember, they didn't pray for peace or protection from persecution at all. This is what they prayed. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness. Now, every word that I have underlined throughout these days are the key word, if I can put it the way, the word that helps me focus, all right? That with all boldness they may speak thy word. The word boldness there means to be open or unreserved. Moms in particular, would you on Mondays, as you start a new week with your family, would you pray that God would give you boldness to speak the word of God to your children and family? To always wrap your conversation with truth. Now, there we go. The belt of truth from this morning. The breastplate of righteousness. The shield of faith. The sword of the Spirit. It's an appropriate thing for you to ask God to help you to with great openness and with no reserve to always be declaring truth to your family, to your children. Never miss an opportunity to wrap their life with the Word of God. So, moms, that is really, this is for all of us again. Dads, all of us that we interact with people, that we'd be bold. But moms in particular, I would encourage you on Mondays, Lord, I need your help this week. Would you help me to, with no reserve, to always share truth with my family? Now, parents of younger children, you say, that's not a problem. I want to do that. I like to do that, and so forth. It's when your kids get older and start asking why. Or they come home from college or seminary and say, Dad, what do you think about this? Or when they're at work and they've heard there's a guy at work that's turning their heart away from the Lord. That's when you need moms to, without reservation, with all openness, to wrap them up in the Word of God. Maybe just open my heart just a little bit with you. Daniel and I have had some pretty... I told my wife, I said, you know what? I think Daniel's wired like me. And yeah. we're rather intense on the inside. Now, I think he... Well, maybe not. I said, maybe he's a little bit more demonstrative than I am. But and so, two intense people, guess what happens? Fireworks every once in a while. Okay. Now, Lord willing, it's restrained and under the Spirit's control, but we've had some pretty heated discussions, and usually about some kind of philosophy of ministry or methodology, those kinds of things, and Daniel, young generation, asking why the old generation, why did I do that? Why do you do that, Dad? All right, wait a second, son. And I must, and there have been times where I will tell you that I come away spiritually, emotionally exhausted from some of those conversations. Why? Well, I'm trying with all boldness to speak the truth as I see it rightly from the Word of God. And I want Daniel, and for any of my children, but I'm using Daniel as an illustration, I want Daniel to understand Scripture rightly. I want him to obey God rightly. I don't want him to walk away from the Lord. Moms, do that. Don't be afraid to... And moms, can I put it this way? I think in some respects you have a one-up on your husbands or the fathers. Because there is a natural, and I think this is God-given, that's why I'm saying you have a one-up. There is a natural tendency for the children to always kind of cherish and listen to mom. It seems as though mom can kind of smooth it over. It's been an interesting dynamic in my house with Abby joining us. And it's been a joy and delight in my heart to watch my children draw her in as mom. And so there are times, and I'll use Daniel as an example, where it's like, you know, if I say something, there's going to be fireworks. But Abby can say the same thing that I was going to say, and there's no fireworks. And there's a tender heart to listen. And I'm back in the corner saying, amen, go get him, Abby! All right. Mom, you have that privilege. Don't waste it. Okay, there's Monday. Pray for your ministry. Tuesday, from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, and you can see we're going to use two verses here. Finally, brethren, this is Paul asking the Thessalonians, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. Well, I could maybe underline that word too. Even as it is with you. The word free course has the idea that the word of God would come to its desired or planned or intended end. That it would bear the fruit that it's supposed to bear. This really is the opposite, if I can put it the way, the other side of the coin from Monday. So Monday, Mom, you pray for your ministry to your children. Tuesday, you pray that the children will accept it. That they will hear. That God's word that you wrap them in will be received by that child's heart, or adult's heart, whoever you're ministering to, that it will come to its complete end. I trust that all of us here tonight, in particular, you, our Sunday night crowd, and I cherish you, I love you, because you're faithful, you're consistent, I appreciate that. And so, for at least the majority of us here tonight, there is, I think, a true passion in our hearts to obey God in everything. Keep on, we're all still growing in that. There's still areas that God's, you know, taking off the rough edges and helping us be more like our Savior. But pray that God would do that for your children too. That they would have an open heart to receive and obey all of God's Word. That they wouldn't put roadblocks up. That they wouldn't in their hearts say no to the Word of God. That they wouldn't quench the Spirit. So moms in particular, pray that God's word with your children, with your grandchildren, would have free course. That God's word would be able to both change and mature your children. This is a humble statement, but it's a statement that's most necessary. All of us, as we give out God's word, we're only the avenue. We're only the, if I can put it this way, the trumpet. We're the spokesperson. We're the press secretary for God. I can't, and we, all of us, especially as parents, know this, I can't in who I am change the heart of my child. I must submit myself to God's working through me, obeying His Word, being the father, the mother that I'm supposed to be in all the discipline, Hebrews chapter 12, all right, we chasten our children on purpose. God does it so that He brings in holiness in their life. And I want to be a tool, an avenue, a spokesperson for God in that ministry. Moms, pray that the Word of God that you share will have its complete good end in the heart and life of your child, that it'll grow them up. One day they walk out of the door, don't they? And they're supposed to be mature. I've been a youth pastor not way too long, it was God's will, but long enough to tell you that there are many young people that walk out of under the tutelage of their parents, and their life hasn't been changed yet by God's word. They are not mature Christians, and that's sad. You have, in our culture, in our time, let me encourage you, by the way, I'll say 21, 22 years with your children, that's not 18. I don't even think of 18 as the. I realize that they can vote then, they can go to war then, I understand that. But they're generally still single. You have until they're married. And even a single person that's older than that, there starts coming where they're on their own, I understand that. You have those years in our culture and time to affect them for the Word. Don't miss the opportunities and pray that God's Word would grow them up, because they come to that point and then there's a lot of choices that we can no longer make for them or encourage them, but they're on their own in some respect. So pray that God's Word would have great effect. On Wednesday, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2, so it's the very next verse. So maybe let me read it together because it goes together. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the Word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered front unreasonable and wicked men. Now, Paul is praying for his own ministry. Thessalonians, would you pray for this ministry among us? And again, let's make the application to the mother-child relationship. Mothers, pray that your children will be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. All men have not the faith. There is devilish work that goes on in this world 24/7. We saw it this morning in verses 10 through 12 of our passage here in Ephesians 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities of powers, so forth. Your child will, no matter how you try to protect them, they will face unreasonable and wicked men. And I think it's most appropriate that we, moms, you in particular, pray that God would protect, would deliver your children. You remember the story of Adoniram Judson, maybe, the great Baptist missionary, although he was a Congregationalist first. In his college years, though he had grown up in a home that feared God, and I believe were even probably believers, went off to college, Andover College, as I recall. And his roommate, or a good friend that he started interacting with, was a skeptic. And just questioned everything about God. Adoniram Judson walked away from his faith. And he was away from God for several years. The story is told, and it's a true story, where he was traveling. I can't remember if it was after or still during college. That skeptic had already left the school and so forth. One night on the way back, he had to stop at a motel, essentially. It was a boarding house, that's what they called it back then. In the middle of the night, the guy in the room next door was screaming out in agony, was dying, and was cursing God. The next morning, Adoniram gets up and goes to the shopkeeper, the boarding house keeper, and said, "Boy, what was going on?" He said, "The man died." In the course of the conversation, Adoniram found out that the man next door was his skeptic friend, who had died from his sin ultimately. It was that moment that God started the work of arresting his heart and turning him back to the Lord. Praise God for that deliverance. But often there are people that come around our children that influence them wrongly. Moms, let me ask you to act out your prayers here, and we could do that in all these areas, but do what you can to help your children to have godly, good friends. You be a part of the process, be a tool in God's hand to deliver your children from unreasonable and wicked men. Now, in our day and age, in our culture and time, in our technological age, it's not just talking about flesh and blood friends. I'm talking about all kinds of Facebook friends, what they get on the internet. Careful. Today, one of the greatest, if not the greatest avenue that turns believers away from the Lord is Facebook, YouTube, all of those Snapchat, all of those things that can be wonderful tools, but also can be used by Satan to have unreasonable and wicked men surround your children and destroy them. Again, the entertainment industry, you get that, your children surrounded by all of that stuff, and those are unreasonable and wicked people. They will destroy you. So pray that God would protect your children, help them by delivering them from that. Okay, on Thursday, Matthew 9:38, wonderful passage. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Moms, dads, be a tool in the Lord's hands to accomplish this great work of sending forth laborers into his harvest field. Though we often connect this verse to full-time people that are in full-time ministry, Lord, send forth people onto the mission field, into the full-time ministry of pastoring or Christian day school teaching, whatever. That's not the direct application of this verse. God wants all Christians to be fully engaged in the harvest work, no matter where God places them. Pray for your children, moms. that they would get it about being a Christian. That the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, will become their mission for life. They would go into all the world, wherever their world is at, and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them, making disciples, teaching them to observe all things. Our children need to be not casually, but passionately involved in evangelism and discipleship. Now, set the example, parents. Let them see that passion, that desire. But pray that their children will get involved. Now, I think a secondary application, the one that I said is not the primary, moms and dads, never stand in the way of your children fully serving the Lord. And in fact, encourage it. We need more laborers in the harvest field, more full-time laborers, not less. The needs around this world are immense. The needs in America are huge. Folks, one of the reasons that I rejoice that God is calling Pastor Allen to plant a church is because this country needs more lighthouses. There are so many missionaries that contact me asking for support. Not all of them would I want us to support, all right? I understand that. But there are. If you would ask me right now, I could probably give you 10 missionaries that we could vote on tonight to support, and that would not be wasted funds. It would be good, godly people that are of like faith and practice. And why is it that there are so many people, and by the way, and that's a drop in a bucket when it comes to what the need is in the world. This world is in desperate need of all kinds of Christians that are serving the Lord full time. We must be faithful here. Faithful folks reaching souls for Christ. Help your kids to do that. Set it in front of them. Let me encourage you, every opportunity you have to have them interact with other preachers, evangelists, missionaries, do that. Honor and exalt them. It would be a wonderful thing if we fought over the missionaries that come for our missions conference. Can I have them in my home for a meal, Pastor? That'd be great. I will tell you that that's what my mom and dad did, and it impressed this boy's heart. Some of my great heroes are past preachers of bygone days that I got to interact with in my home as a little boy. I rejoice that Drew is having those opportunities now, but I'm happy to share those with you folk too, all right? We have the missionaries in on purpose. I need to know what's going on and interact on a personal basis, but you want them? Tell me. We can work that out too, all right? Let their heroes be those that have given their life to full-time ministry. Another thing, another practical point, moms? Let me encourage you to read good Christian, but even, can I be more pointed, Baptist biographies of those who have gone before us and served the Lord. Let them. Some of those books are long. there's a lot of good writing out there, though. Again, one of the things that we've had in the practice in our home is we use This Day in Baptist History as a part of our normal routine and family devotions. So the little kids, sometimes it's a little over their heads, but I want them to hear of all of our Baptist forefathers, heroes of the faith, that on purpose were persecuted. I mean, they were persecuted. They on purpose chose to be Baptist, to be baptized by immersion, to believe in the autonomy of the local church, all of those things that we hold dear as this church family. And they suffered persecution for it. And they were willing to stand up and say, that's okay, I'm going to do that. It'll move your heart. Let that be the heroes and the examples in your life. Maybe I'll be blunt for just 1 minute. Michael Jordan's a great basketball player, but he's not a good hero. Does that make sense? What our children adore is what they often become. Don't let the people that they honor in their life be wicked. Maybe that goes back to Wednesday. So set before them some godly, godly examples. Now, by the way, some of those examples are right here. And I'll put it this way. Thank you, church family, for interacting with my Drew. You are, in many ways, his heroes. And I rejoice in that. Because you can influence him in ways that I as a father, Abby as a mother, you'll strengthen and help us with that. I want Drew to love Heritage Baptist Church. He does right now. I want that to continue. Sundays, Wednesdays are high days for him. And let that continue. Continue to be godly heroes. Okay, I need to keep... Well, it's not too late yet, but I need to keep hastening on, all right? So pray that the Lord would send them out as laborers. Friday, if any of you lack wisdom, James 1:5, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. There's really a twofold, in my opinion, application to this. Number one, Mom, pray for wisdom, that God would give you wisdom to know how to best interact and train your children. They are all uniquely designed by God, and they all take a unique, different touch than the other one. In some respects, and I realize I mentally probably knew this, but after David and Danae were born, it's like, hey, I got this boy-girl thing down. You know, however many boys or girls come along, we got this figured out. I'm a fool, aren't I? Then Daniel entered the picture and is like, turned the world upside down, right? Messed it all. Totally different than his brother David. Totally different. There are leaders in different ways. It's just absolutely amazing. And then Darcy came along. Totally different than her sister Danae, though they're cherished. Drew is unique. Do you realize, all I'm trying to say is every child is unique and takes a unique handling. For some of them, you know how it goes. The threat of a spanking was all it took to stop them dead in their tracks. And I'm not going to tell you which ones of those it are. For others of them, it was multiple times, not threats. I'm being knocked multiple times back to the room, back for the same sin. It was like, child, what's wrong with you? We already went through this routine. You already punished. Why are we heading back to the bedroom again and getting the paddle? We laugh about it a little bit with the older kids now. Guess what? I'm seeing sinners in my little kids, but I need to handle them wisely and well. I am not as a father, and mothers, this goes with you, I am not to frustrate my children. Not bring them to a point where they think that Christianity and life is against them. Arbitrary rules or no rules at all bring great frustration to children. The wisdom to build the fences, the biblical fences around their life, takes much effort and pain. And you need wisdom. Beg God for wisdom. Now, secondly, not only beg God for wisdom for you to be the parent you're supposed to be, but beg God that they will pick up God's wisdom. That they will learn to turn to the Word of God to find truth. Not to their friends, not to, you know, their peers, not to a bad guy, not to wrong books, a wrong blogger on the internet, that they will seek God's Word for wisdom. And you need to, again, this goes back to several other points, bring the Word of God, wrap them in that truth, parents. All right, that's on Friday. If any of you lack wisdom, let them ask of God that giveth all men liberally. Saturday, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 again, a little bit of a theme going on from 1 and 2 Thessalonians, isn't there? And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. I'm reminded of the Christmas carol, the Wexford Carol. We are poor, ornery sinners. Remember the choir sang it a couple years ago? Dum bum ba da dum. Anyways, poor, ornery sinners like you and like I. Christ came to die for them. What a fitting description of our character as humans. We are poor spiritually. We are ornery spiritually. And so consequently, we have this innate, natural tendency to live for ourselves. It is in the home. Parents, I don't think I can stress this enough. It is in the home that you teach your children how to live in society, how to demonstrate biblical love to all men, to fellow believers, to cherish dear family. Yes, back to the old truth of sharing, living selfless in their life. And this is a task that is lifelong. Paul here was praying for the Thessalonians, who at this moment in the writing, even of 1 Thessalonians, had already demonstrated great spiritual character in their life. They were growing, maturing by leaps and bounds. They were already demonstrating love. And he says, I'm praying that God will make you to increase and abound in love toward one another. And as far as we know, there wasn't a fight going on in the church. And he says, I want you to continue to grow in being selfless, being like Christ, being sacrificial in how you demonstrate your love towards one another. Mom, you can be one of the greatest avenues for God to teach your children to be selfless. That spat that goes on between the siblings, don't just look past it. I don't have time for this today. No. Stop. And with God's help, teach them to share. Teach them what private property is all about. When it's stealing. All those things are so critical. Teach them to give. To have a generous heart. Make that son of yours, when he gets a special treat, to give a portion of it to his sister, or vice versa. So we've hit another climax in our house. Dory was out driving the John Deere Ground Force, the little electric tractor. She doesn't steer real well, but she loves going in circles with the thing. Well, that's Drew's tractor. Oh, share. Wait a second. That's not just your toy, Drew. And that goes on for the rest of life. Teach your children when they start earning income or just getting an allowance. But wait a second, that money's not yours really. That's the Lord's money that's been gifted to you. Teach them to tithe. Let them rejoice. It's more blessed to give than to receive. That's a demonstration of love. When there's a need, teach them to jump in to help with that need. Even in a small way. Mommy needs help today. You need to go make sure that your bed is made and your room is picked up. Whatever it may be. Teenager. One of our senior saints needs help moving. Come on. Dad, I really don't want to. I don't know them well. Fine. Come on. That type of self-sacrificing love, they need to keep growing in. So moms, make this a matter of prayer and then make it a matter of life. And then finally, on Sunday, rejoice evermore. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. It goes on in verse 17, and these are all connected, I believe. There is connection, it's not just random. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. As we make the application directly to your family, moms, I would encourage you every Sunday, and maybe you should do it even more often, thank God for each of the children that God has given you. For their individual character, who they are, how God has designed them, for their strengths and the areas of weaknesses that you see, that you've been given the wisdom to help deal with them, rejoice over your children. Children need to learn who they are before God. A part of the maturing process is for them to realize that they're not the center of the universe. You understand that, don't you? They're not God. And so all of life needs to help them see that. But in the balance of that is even though they're not God and they can't be in charge and they shouldn't be in charge and all those things, they need to know that they're loved by God. God has so designed the family that young children in particular, but we don't forget that this goes on. My adult children, I still believe, need to hear from dad and mom that we love them. And that there are things about them that we really like, that we rejoice in what God is doing in their life. They need to be told that. there is a world out there that wants to destroy them and beat them up. That they need to have a proper balance. This is not you know, David, Danae, Daniel, whoever. You're the center of the universe and I'm doting over you. No. It's a real statement. It's an honest statement. David, you are doing really well at... David, I rejoice in the voice that God has given you. Those kinds of things. And to tell them that every once in a while. Whether it's in a birthday card or when something, a significant happening. By the way, this is one of those parts in your kid is accomplishing some, they're on a soccer team. Now, to balance out what I said this morning, all right? Obviously, our great goal is to put the armor of God on them. But that doesn't mean everything else is worthless. It just needs to be balanced, all right? So, your child is involved in a sport, you know, everything is in balance in your life, you're helping them grow spiritually. Well, go to the soccer game for crying out loud. It was really difficult for Darcy. She is not an athlete. I think you know that. It's not anything she really enjoys. And we had an elementary soccer program at our Christian school in Michigan. She would go out there and pick dandelions while the rest of the game was going on around her. You know, she'd be off. They put her on defense some back place back over here where she could just stand around and enjoy or talk to the friend while the game was going on. How do you compliment her for this? Darcy, great game. No, it wasn't. You didn't even play, even though you're out on the field. But I rejoice that she smells the roses. She has a knack for seeing beauty. The soccer ball wasn't beautiful to her, but that dandelion or that clover leaf or her friend was beautiful. Darcy, I'm glad that you have some really good friends, that you love them and you want to give to them. You understand what that does is help her focus on the gifts that God has given her and help her grow in Christ that way. Now, I might say, you know what, when you're in the middle of a game, Darcy, maybe you should try to kick the soccer ball every once in a while. Help her see that that's important too. When you're in the middle of a game, it's important to participate. Do you understand? That's a part of the rejoicing in your children. Sundays is a great day. Sunday should be one of the most joyful days for the believer, ought it not? Christ rose again today. We're celebrating His resurrection. We have spiritual life. Let's rejoice in the abundant life that God has given us. And part of that abundant life is the children that God has given us. They are a blessing of the Lord. They're an inheritance from God. Rejoice in them. Especially after a week where, you know, it's been like you've been in the spanking closet all week. It's important to balance your own thinking out, Mom, with some joy. All right, Lord, thank you for this child. Rejoice over more. Believers, tonight, you can take these truths and use this in multiple ways. But can I encourage you, let this become your habit, your team. This is God's Word. And as we pray God's Word back to Him, guess what happens? I give you the answer already. It's the answer. God gives us His will. Stop and just real quick as we wrap up tonight, look back through the list with me. You come to the end of the week and God has given you boldness to share truth with your children. That's an answer to prayer. Or you've seen God take His Word and change your child. Oh, praise God for that. God answered prayer. Or you notice that your child walked away from the bully in class and made a willful choice to cherish and love the unlovely in her class or his class. Rejoice in that. When they come up and say, "Hey, Dad, I think God's calling me into missions." Rejoice in that, even though that means separation. When God gives you wisdom to help your child make a right choice, rejoice in that. When they demonstrate wisdom from God's Word, rejoice in that. When they learn to share, when they learn to give, rejoice in that. And rejoice in the gift that God has given us. Now you say, "Pastor, I don't have children. Are you my brother or are you my sister?" At Heritage Baptist Church, we've got family, don't we? Whether or not you have children, we have brothers and sisters in Christ that we can go through this same list and be praying for one another. Let God's Word shape our prayer life. Praying always with all prayer and supplication and all perseverance for all saints. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I pray tonight that this challenge will just be very practical, helpful for us, that we can live out in our own lives this simple example of prayerless. Lord, I pray that you would help our mothers in particular to pray these prayers for their children and for themselves. May we be found faithful in this amazing, powerful ministry. Lord, you've promised that your word won't return void. So as I pray these needs back to you, these words of God, we will see answers. Help us to rejoice in them. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe a simple, somewhat of a broad challenge tonight in thought, but maybe tonight you say, Pastor, God's worked in my heart, and there's some areas where I can grow in my prayer life, and I want to. I cherish what I've heard tonight, and I want to be a better prayer warrior for my children, for my church family, whoever it is that God's burning your heart with. You say, Pastor, God's worked in my heart tonight, and I want to become that better prayer warrior. Anyone like that, quiet, slip their hand there and say, that's me. Amen. Amen. Numerous hands. Let us be found faithful. Let this become your habit, believer. Are you here tonight without Christ? I know it's our family here tonight. Maybe it's a young child that realizes that Jesus isn't their Savior. They haven't trusted Christ. Maybe it's an adult even. Can I pray for you tonight? Say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I need to be saved tonight. Can I pray for you? Maybe quietly sit behind me. That's my need, Pastor. Please pray for me. Anyone at all. Lord, thank you for your word. Help this to be beneficial and helpful in our life. May we live it out as we are faithful prayer warriors for one another, and in particular for our family. Lord, if there's one here tonight without the Savior, draw them to thyself. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Again, let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And as we hum along here with just a moment with the pianist, if God's working your heart and you want to say, come into the front to spend some time in prayer, say, Lord, help me in this particular area. Or maybe even commit, say, Lord, with your help and strength, I'm going to get in this faithful routine of praying these things for my family. Well, then why don't you come? Ask for his help and assistance. So as the pianist quietly plays, we hum along. As God's working your heart, you respond.